You know, there's nothing like youth to stimulate. And that time spent with those three youngsters, I tell you, it has done something to me and for me. Good to be among the young people. Judges chapter 3, please. Starting at verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bare the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he rose out of his seat. Ehud put forth his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into the belly. And the shaft also went after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch, shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked it. When he was gone out, his servants came, when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked. They said, surely he covers his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed. And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key, opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead upon the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped into Sarah. It came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow me. The Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, all men of valor, and they escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest fourscore years. May the Lord bless to us his word. Our text is found in verse 15. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, king of Moab. Ehud, left-handed. Now I know in your Bibles, the impression is that this man was naturally left-handed, but he wasn't. And if you go back to the original Hebrew, those of you that have an interlinear Hebrew Bible, you will find this. It reads in a funny way, Eglon was shut of his right hand. Now what does that mean? Many of you like Darby. Darby also reads, he was lame in his right hand. Rotherham reads, he was lame in his right hand. Newberry reads, he was shut of his right hand. Green's interlinear reads, a man impeded in his right hand. New Bible Dictionary, a man deformed in his right hand. The Lamps of the Shattered Bible, a man whose right hand was crippled. The Masoretic, a man who was lamed in his right hand. The Briggs Brown Diver Lexicon, a man restricted as to his right hand and therefore left-handed. Jansenius, he could not well use his right hand. So Eglon was not born left-handed. His right hand was crippled, impeded, lame. And because his right hand was lame, he used his left hand. And that's simply the thought that I want to leave with us. Use what God has given you. Make no excuse. I don't have this. I don't know. Use what God has given you. Now, we're going to break the thought a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now there are diversities of gifts. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the general good. I remember years ago at a conference in New York, Brother Peary spoke on spiritual gifts. And at the end of that morning session, a young lady came to me, and I remember her very specially. She was a visitor from Philadelphia. And she said to me, I didn't know that God gave me a gift to use for his people. I thought it was like a birthday present just for me. He has given us gifts for the general welfare. Verse 12. As the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is the Christ. We are the body of Christ, and there are many members. Verse 14. The body is not one member, but many. And as members of the body of Christ, of course, we have different positions, different gifts, and different abilities. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Regardless of what your gift may be, how great or how small, you're part of the body, and the purpose of the gift is to be used. If the ear shall say, behold, I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? You know, there's one thing I like about Paul's writings and scripture in general. It's so logical. I mean, this is easy to understand, isn't it? And it reads so beautifully. If the whole were hearing, how would you smell? We need different members in the body. And some may appear more outstanding and more important than others, but we need all working together as in our human bodies, so that we might be in a state of health. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as he has pleased him. God puts us where he wants us. If they were all one member, where were the body? Now are there many members, yet how many bodies? One body. And that's one of the beautiful things about the human body. Study of the human body is fascinating. How it's put together, how things work. I remember years ago, this was long before I was born, the end of the last no, century before, end of the 19th century, a group of medical people met in Russia. And among them was an old pathologist. And the question came up, if you had to make a man, how would you make him? Because they, some of those fellows feel that the body isn't made right. And they called on this old pathologist, old Russian pathologist, if you had to make a man, how would you make him? And he replied, exactly as he is. That's the best one. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We all need each other working in the body of Christ. Regardless of what your gift or your talent is, everybody is needed. Verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You have a stumpy little toe? You stump it hard enough, you go to bed. Just a little toe. But we need all parts of the body. Ever get just a little dust in your eye? That eye weeps, this eye weeps, and you get a headache, your nose sort of runs. One little member affects all. We need all of the members of the body. Those members, 23, of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And so those who feel that they have inferior gifts and less gifts, you know, even more important than the fellow who has a big gift. We are all to use what we have. And that's the lesson that I wish to point out from Ehud. He was crippled in his right hand, so he didn't have a pity party. My hand, he used what he had. He used his left. And he used it well. Our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no division in the body. As in your own human body, all the parts work together. And all those little cells that you don't know anything about, and the medical men and the science still don't know about a lot of the cells, a lot of these cells in the body, but they work together for the common good. And so with God's people, we are all necessary, even though we may feel, well, I don't make much difference. Each believer makes a lot of difference. Verse 26. Whether one member suffer, all suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are body of Christ, members individually. God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracle, then gifts of healing, health, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Do all have the same gift? All prophets? Do all have the gift of prophecy? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no. But we are to use what we have. And now we come back to Mr. Ehud, who was lame in his right hand. And he just sat there looking at the hand and weeping over the hand. He used his left hand. He used what he had. And that is the lesson, the one thought, that's all I want to bring to our attention. Use what you have. Don't feel sorry for what you don't have. And please don't be jealous of the next brother or sister. I wish I had his gift. Use what God gave you. Don't worry about the next one. Now, the sum and substance of what we have read is that all God's children are gifted. God has no ungifted children. You know, you make a lot of gifts, gifted children. I remember when our children were small, they sent us a notice. There will be a meeting for the parent of the exceptionally gifted child. That child is not only gifted, but exceptionally gifted. That's something. I don't know why they sent it to us. However, in God's church, there are no ungifted people. No ungifted members. And we are urged to do what Ehud did. Take what you have and use it. Now, I just want to use the rest of the time giving examples of people who used what they had. I remember in New York City, where I was born, raised, saved, and educated. That wicked city. That's where I come from. I remember one day on the street corner, there was a man, a blind man, reading Braille. And I marveled at this. And many people came, and they must have marveled with me. And some brought their Bible to check on it. He couldn't see, so he used what he had. And then I remember this first man was an older man, and he read very slow. But then another young fellow came, and he also was blind, and he read as fast as you or I. Boom. He used what he had. No excuse. Many years ago, in France, in the city of Paris, there was a boy born blind. All of his relatives were musicians and artist people. And they were very upset that he couldn't see. And an old uncle came and said, "Why are you all so upset? The boy has two hands and two feet. Let him learn the organ." Today, he is an outstanding organist in Paris and one of the best organ teachers you can find anywhere. He used what he had. And that is what God would have us do. In the early 40s, there was a drug that was used for expectant mothers. They used it a lot in Germany, very little in this land. And all of the mothers who used this drug or were given this drug had children with defective arms. Some had no arm. Some arms ended at the elbow. In some cases, the hand was at where the shoulder should be from taking this drug. But you know what these people did? No hands. And the next time you go to the circus, don't worry about those folks swinging up there. Go to the sideshow. That's where you learn stuff. That's where you'll see people with no hands writing with their feet. And I mean writing well. Why? They are using what they have. And then following any injury, many people don't have the use of the hand. So what do? Sit down and cry, "I can't use my hand." No, no. Johnny Toddy, you know the name, she's one. She's unable to use her upper or lower extremities. So what does she do? Uses her mouth. Puts the brush in her mouth and paints. And every year around Christmas time, I get in the mail several offers from people who have no use of their hands or their feet. It's amazing what they paint with a brush in their mouth. They are using what they have. No excuse. More recently, I saw another group of people women born without any lower extremities. No thighs, no legs, no feet. Yet they bore children and raised families. How about? They used what they had. And we need to learn to use what God has given. If he takes away one thing, denies us one thing, you don't stop there. Do like Ehud. Develop the other one. And go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all heard the story of the man who had no shoes. You remember the story. Walking down the road, shoulders bent over, head bowed, I have no shoes. Feeling sorry for himself. Having what we call a pity party, I have no shoes. And as he went along, he saw a man sitting there, a beggar. And as he passed the beggar, he saw that the beggar had no feet. All of a sudden, his shoulders came up, his head came up, and he thanked the Lord that he had feet. And we need to thank the Lord for what he has given us, for what we have, and use for his service and to his honor and glory that which remains. Oh, one day we're going to be perfect. You see, I don't worry too much about that. That's why in my work I never went in for what I call beauty surgery. Facelift and that sort of thing didn't interest me. People with genuine problems interested me. And I'm not too interested in this beauty surgery even today. For myself or anybody else. Do you know that one day I'm going to be good looking? Do you know that? Well, you too. We're going to be like the Lord. Can you look any better? So don't worry too much about your facial expression and your facial appearance down here. Use what you have for him. Serve him with what you have. You know I've come to the end? Okay. That's all. What you have, no matter how defective, use for the Lord and for his glory and for his honor. Number 540, please. I hope we know this. If we don't, have I done my best for Jesus with what I have? Not going around worrying about what I don't have. I remember a young lady, she was losing her eyesight. And the social worker said, well, what do you plan to do with your life? And she had it all planned. I plan to get a white cane, go down to the Apollo Theater and dance. What are you planning, beloved? What are your plans? Should you become deficient in the use of one of your members? 540.